your sons and daughters. Father, if there weren't any other goodness that's bestowed upon us on a daily basis, the fact that we know that we're your sons and daughters is enough for us to rejoice through all eternity. Father, we praise you for the little things as well as the big things. We praise you that we were well enough to even come to church today. We praise you, Father, that because of you, that all those people that would have died in those airplanes, oh Lord, it would have just been a shake up of all the world, Father. But you intervened. How you did that, we don't know, but we're glad you did. Lord, thank you for the intercessors. And Lord, today, this very important subject about soul ties, I ask that you would help. Would you take the words that come from my mouth and would you bring it into the spirit and hearts of those that are here today, Lord, and multiply it. Even what I'm saying, if it doesn't relate sometimes to their own personal lives, let that be a seed that will, Lord, take root and that you begin to reveal, Holy Spirit, other areas that's linked. For you desire your people to be free. You desire your people, Lord, to come into wholeness. You desire your people to experience life and that life more abundantly, Lord. And we don't want that to be a cliche. We want it to be something that's real, that we experience and not just speak it out, life more abundantly. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, thank you that you've put in my heart a love for your body. I yield myself to you now, and I say, come, Holy Spirit. You've already been invited here during worship. I just ask that you increase your presence now. I ask that you help everyone here, Lord, to put aside all their concerns, just to lay it on the cross before you right now. Lay aside every burden, every judgment, everything, Lord, right now, and abandon themselves to you, for you want to do a new thing in their lives today. And I just ask, Jesus, that you come and be our honored guest right now. Thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing with Sam and the team. I ask that your presence will be upon them right now in a strong way. Now, thank you, Lord, for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a little boy, I had a friend. His name was Moley Hicks. What a name, huh? Moley Hicks. And Moley Hicks and I were very good friends. And we decided that we wanted to be covenant partners. I think we had watched the Lone Rangers or something and saw them do something like that. So we got a knife and we were going to cut our wrists, but we thought that wasn't going to be a very good idea. That's going to be painful. So we kind of toyed with it, but we didn't want to see any blood. We wanted blood, but not that way. Not for the price we had to go through to get it. Then we thought, okay, I know, we'll get a little pin and we'll just prick our finger and then we'll let the blood come out. We'll put our fingers together and we'll be blood brothers. And then we thought, nah, that's going to hurt too. So we just kind of faked it and pretend like we cut our wrists, and then we put our wrists together like that. And we says, now we are blood brothers forever. We made a covenant with each other. Didn't know what we were doing. And then I think the next day we were in a fight and we didn't even, I think our friendship kind of broke. But we were going through the motions, what we had seen on television. So soul ties today. Let me tell you a story about an elephant. You know, elephants are, when they're raised in the circus, when they're just little calves, right away what they do to the trainer does to the elephant is to train that elephant to stay in one place. So they put a big collar on the elephant's neck. They put the collar around the foot, and then they get a peg and they stake that thing right into the ground. And that little calf pulls and pulls and pulls and just tries to get free but never can get free. It tries over and over and over again, and he just cannot get free. And then as it grows and gets bigger You know, it's wandering around different places, but every time they tie him up, he knows that he's limited. His space is limited, that there's nothing he can do. He has boundaries. And so even as an adult now, if they chain that elephant up anywhere, that elephant does not realize that he's more powerful than that stake, that he can pull that thing out very easy. In fact, he can probably pull the trainer's tent down completely or his home. You know, that's how strong he is. But he doesn't realize his strength, that he's in control, his dominance. He doesn't see that. And I have found this to be in oftentimes in our own walk as well, is that because of certain soul ties, and I'm going to give you a definition in a few minutes about soul ties, we don't understand that how free we are, what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We are totally, the freedom that he offers us is incredible. And I am so hungry. I'm so hungry for more. I just love his presence. In fact, my wife released me, and I'm going to be leaving next month to go to the States and then Canada. And I'm going to go to a place where I can just dwell in his presence and receive and let the Holy Spirit just minister to me. Why? Because I love the presence of God. And as my Father, as he just loves on me, I get freer and freer and freer. Because there's still things in my own life I'm still staked down like that elephant. And as it's a progression. And as God works on me and reveals things to me, shines light in those areas of my life that keeps me in bondage, I get free. And then I get to a different level and I can receive more and more of his love. You see, it's difficult to receive his love when we're in bondage. And some of us sit with the spirit of bondage on us every day. And God said, it's enough. My church is to be free in these last days. It's just incredible what he's doing. And so the soul ties, the Lord is, his plan for us is to bless us. He has kingdom plans for us. I don't know about you, but do you have a kingdom mentality? Or do we have a mentality just for myself every day? Survival, go to work, go home, go to youth group, or go to SP, different groups, whatever it is, it's a routine, and I have no kingdom perspective. And what God has implanted in us and wants us to have is that kingdom mentality, a passion for him and a passion for what he wants to do here on this earth. That's what life really begins. Unless we're still looking for something else that we think can fulfill us in this life, we're not going to make it to what God has for us. There is nothing else. There's nothing else that's more fulfilling than knowing your Heavenly Father and working together with him to advance his kingdom. That's the most exciting thing on the face of this earth. And I lived in the world. I know what the world's like. And it cannot even compare to this relationship that I have with my Father. It's just incredible. So I just want to encourage you that the Lord wants us to choose life. Now, if we look at, let me just tell you what a soul tie is. I guess I should go right there and give you this. Okay. A soul tie is not a church term, okay? And you're not going to find that word in the Bible, but you're going to find derivatives and related words. You will not find the word soul ties anywhere in the Bible, old or new. But you're going to find lots of truths concerning soul ties. The biblical term for it's a biblical term for knot, like a knot, you tie a knot, soul tie is. It's a biblical term for join together, to join, to cleave. These are the most common used words that describe what we call today soul tie. Okay? To join, to cleave, a knot, to knot together. Strong Concordance says that the Hebrew word for knit means to bind up, or to join together. Now, this is very important that you grasp that. To bind up or to join together, okay? And the Hebrew word for join means to cling, to adhere to cling and to adhere to join together. I mean, this connection could be either good or bad. Okay, there are good soul ties, and then there are bad soul ties. An example of a good soul tie can be found in a number of scriptures in the Bible. Example would be in Genesis 2:24, a soul tie between a husband and a wife. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is one of the biggest problems that I've found here in Asia, is that a husband and wife get married, and they never really become, well, they are one flesh, because God does it. He puts something, there's a mystery, he puts something between us that kind of welds our spirits, our souls together as one, okay? But the acting out of that is different because of the commitments and loyalties to your families that you've come out of. And sometimes mother-in-laws and father-in-laws have too much influence into a family because you are a separate entity now. And so it causes many, many different problems. And then Genesis 44:30, the soul tie is between a parent and a child. You can read that later. And then 1 Samuel 18:1, between good friends. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. He loved him as his own soul. That's an incredible bond, isn't it? 2 Samuel 20, verse 2, between the people and their leaders, our pastors, Saul, every man of Israel went up after David and followed Shabbai, the son of Bichrah. But the men of Judah cleaved unto the king from Judah, from Jordan, even to Jerusalem. And then Deuteronomy 10:20, between God and between us, you shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oath in his name. And then there are bad soul ties as well. There's one in Genesis 34, 1 to 3. You can read more of that later. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went up to see the daughter of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her, and his soul cleaved unto Dinah. His soul cleaved her. Now, in other words, he raped her. She didn't consent to this. She didn't consent at all. Even so, there was a soul tie that was established. That's very important to remember that. There was a soul tie that was established. Clinging. Cling. To cleave, to cling, to join. Remember that. Okay? So, in counseling, in many situations that we've been able to work with different ones who have been raped or molested by family members. A lot of family members, it's very common today, and maybe they've forgotten about this whole incident, but there's a clinging. I was with one lady before, and her father had died, and I said, how did you feel at the funeral? And when your father died, how did you feel about that when you stood over him? And she said, oh, no feeling, no emotion, no nothing. And I said, no, nothing? That's your dad? No. And the reason why we had found out later is that he had molested her. And there was a soul tie between them. And she hated him, just literally hated him. But he still had a lot of control over her because of the soul tie. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, what that actually means. There are soul ties to everyone whom we have sexual relationships with. Everyone. And we do go through great explanation to share with those individuals that have had, who have been active before marriage. And we go through cleansing because that's very important to be cleansed. It's very important that the soul tie between you and someone else is broken, completely broken. Sometimes it's a process. You do it once, and then there's still you have to go over it again and again until it's completely broken. And you'll know when it's broken because some of the repercussions of being in a relationship, a physical sexual relationship with somebody, that soul tie is manifest years later. The person just, you know, it shows up in your dreams. And you haven't thought about that person in years, but your spirit remembers. And the reason why is that there's a marriage that has taken place. God has planned it that way, that when we have sexual intercourse with someone, our spirits join together. And so if we have multiple partners, just imagine your spirit, your soul is joined to all these different people everywhere. And it can cause us a lot of different problems, many problems. Problems like, let's say that person has a problem with anger that you're with or I was with. Then most likely, if there's a transferring of spirits into you, you will, because of the soul tie, also have that same spirit upon you. And, that gets pretty serious. But that's a definition, a little bit of definition for now about soul ties. Now, Satan has a plan for you, and God has a plan for you, for our lives. Satan has a plan for your destruction. God has a plan for your life. And so we want to choose life. In Hebrews 12:9, it says, God has a plan for us, and that plan is this. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplines us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? And live. And live. And live. He wants to bless us. He wants us to have life. Okay? Submitting to the Father's will, we live. The kingdom mentality. Kingdom. We live. But then there's Satan who's out to destroy us. Do you know that the Bible tells in Revelation 12:9 that the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. His assignment is to destroy, is to deceive the nations. That's his assignment. That's what he does best, is to deceive the nations. And then in Isaiah 14:12, I won't go into that. You might want to read that later, just that whole chapter of Isaiah 14. It talks about Satan, who was a fallen angel. And it talks about his destruction and anyone else that follows him. You see, if we choose death, if we choose Satan's way of doing things, we choose the world, we choose his system, if we choose him, he's the prince and the power of the air, we choose death. If we choose God, his will for our lives, we choose him, we choose life. And that's where the blessings is. If we choose death, then we as a tree, the roots of our lives are corrupt. And the fruit that comes out of that is also corrupt. We choose life, then the fruit is life and righteousness and blessings. And I mean, we just take off, okay? And so what God wants to do is take an axe to the root of the old ways. And he wants to bless you and bless your generations is what he wants to do. And what a wonderful God, huh? So life, choose life over death. I had a friend who had this backyard and grass everywhere, you know, but he had these weeds, this one particular weed that came up, and he wanted to get rid of that weed, so he went out and he worked one Saturday morning, and he started cutting that weed down, and he got about level of the ground, cut it, then he decided, maybe I can just grab hold and pull on it and get the root out, so he's pulling on this thing, and he snapped it out, and he was really happy about that. He said, no, that's done. And he came back out maybe another month, and he looked, and he seen in his lawn, there was that same weed that was there had taken root and had just spread up all over his yard, and he couldn't figure out why. So he cut them all down, and then there was more. He just could not figure out what was going on. So he got a friend of his who was a gardener, and the gardener dug a deep hole down deep in the surface of his soil, and he found out that the root was wrapped around a pole underneath, and that for him to be completely freed, he needed to get the complete root out, and then he would be free, and he wouldn't have to worry about the weeds anymore, and that's exactly what happened. And that's what Jesus is doing in our lives right now, is that he is wanting to cut the root, pull the root completely out, the roots of darkness, the roots of these soul ties that links us not only to people that we've had sexual relationships with, but also generational roots that causes us many problems and puts us in bondage, okay? That's what God wants to do in our lives. So my friend David learned a very good spiritual lesson in that. Soul ties are so powerful. They are very powerful. And sometimes I wonder why certain people marry each other. And you find out that they were so tied together when they were young. I have this, I read the story about this person who, this lady, she and her boyfriend had made a covenant when they were young, like in their teens. And they said that, you know what? You know, let's make a covenant together. Let's have more or less a soul tie. Let's promise that if any of us ever want to get married, that the other has to approve that it's okay. And so, or we will not get married, never. And so, for some reason, either one of them, they left. They were on the other side of the country, other side of the state from each other. They didn't have any more communication with each other. But for some reason, both of them could never get married. See, they had that soul tied. And that's honored. And they could never get married until someone addressed the issue and saw that and recognized that there was a covenant that was made years ago. And so they broke it, and the person was free and found it. One of them got married. The other one didn't, because the other one never broke the soul tie themselves. Soul ties can be pretty powerful. Soul ties. Okay, well, let me just switch gears for a moment. The Bible says in Galatians 6:8, "For he that soweth in his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." He that soweth in the flesh. So if we sow in the flesh, meaning sexual relationships, meaning unforgiveness, meaning many different things like that, depression, if we sow into the flesh, then flesh is what we're going to reap. But if we sow into the Spirit, then we will reap that is of the Spirit, and our lives will be fruitful. But in Isaiah 10:27, the Bible promises this. I'm really excited about this scripture. I love this scripture. It says, "In the day their burdens will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from their necks." In other words, God is going to lift the burden, and he's going to crush the yoke. And that he did that through Jesus' death on the cross for us. But we have to apply it. Everything that comes to us has to be applied. Yes, maybe we've been forgiven of our sins, but there's still unfinished business in our lives that we have to apply the blood to be free. Amen? Amen. Now, let's clarify a few things. First of all, fornication occurs when an unmarried man and an unmarried woman engage in a sexual intercourse situation. Adultery is when a married man and a married woman have sexual intercourse, but they are not married to one another. Okay? Many people don't know that, but that's what it is. Fornication and adultery are not identical in meaning. And today, in today's world, it's said that many say that if an unmarried person engages in sexual intercourse, that there's no sin that's involved because they're unmarried. No sincere Christian would believe something like that, right? No sincere Christian would. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not do not be deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters, nor adulterers will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. These are pretty tough scriptures, but I just want to lay a foundation. One more is 1 Corinthians 3:17. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are his temple. Sexual relationships outside of marriage or in marriage outside of marriage is very harmful. I've been working with this girl for a long time. I can't tell you where she's from. And she is in a situation where she has a lot of guilt in her life. She feels guilty for even living. And she's guilty for everything that doesn't go right. She's guilty because she's behind in her work, at her job. She's just guilty about everything. And then she has a boyfriend that comes to visit her over the weekend. And he comes to visit her weekend, stays with her, and she's guilty about that. She's a believer. She's involved with him sexually. And she knows it's wrong. But a person who's come from a family background of guilt should not be in that situation at all. Now look at this. Her guilt caused her to have insomnia. Insomnia is a result of a person with great conflict inside. They can't sleep. So it affects the gland in the back of their head here. And it starts a lot of secretion and so forth. And with that conflict going on inside, this gland controls your sleep patterns. And it overworks. And so they can't settle down inside because of all the turmoil and conflict going on. Well, she had turmoil and conflict about this guy living with her on the weekends. She had a problem of the fear of being alone. And she had a problem with her mother who used to cane her so badly that there would be bruises and just open wounds in her legs and stuff because her mother caned her so badly. So she had that issue and then hatred for her mother and hatred for her father. She was a mess. And her face broke out with all kinds of rash and just as red as this guy's shirt right here. Here and here, they call it the butterfly as a result of insomnia and anxiety and worry and guilt. So she had all this stuff going on inside of her. She was destroying the temple of God. And she didn't know why her body broke down. She couldn't even go to work anymore. So my wife and I had to go to her house to visit her, to minister to her, because she couldn't leave and go outside in the sun because her skin was so messed up. So she had shame because of her face. She had this conflict with this guy going on. She says, "What is wrong with me? I just want to die." So she was very suicidal. So I said, "Okay, what is the conflict that's going on inside you?" She thought about conflict. Why would I ask her a question like that? I'm dying. I have insomnia. I got all these other feelings going on, and you ask me what my conflict is. I said, because the conflict is why you're so messed up. And so she started sharing a little bit about what was going on with her because she knows what this conflict is. It's this whole thing of guilt. Now, the guilt that she was experiencing wasn't just from her sexual relationship with this man. The guilt was a generational guilt that came through the family line. The whole family suffers with this area of guilt and shame. And so we started dealing with the generational stuff first and started dealing with her in these areas of hatred and all the outward stuff. And then the conflict started to cease and she started getting better. Her skin started to get better. The coloration, the red color went away completely. She started getting energy again. She started looking really good, started getting a lot of energy, wanted to go out and do things now. We said, "No, you can't do too much right now. Just take it easy. This is a process. And we want to make sure we get everything taken care of first." And now she's getting sleep. She's doing very well because, you know, God is so good and so merciful. She had to get rid of the things that were causing her body to react the way it was responding. And it was all this guilt. And the soul ties she had with this guy and other guys in the past needed to be broken in her life. You know, and one of the reasons why we cannot enter into the presence of God is because we got so much going on inside of us. and so much guilt from our past. And God just wants to free us from all of that. You know, he wants to get you free. Sexual sins. And there are people who are just caught up with an addictive, and it's a compulsive sexual behavior that they catch themselves in, and they trace it back. They may even see that their parents have a compulsive behavior in the area of sex, and their grandparents. You know, sometimes you wonder, why is it that I keep this whole sexual thing? You know, I'm really trying my best. I constantly, you know, I'm on and off all the time with certain sins. I just feel like I'm in this vicious cycle. That's how we feel sometimes. We're in this vicious cycle. You know, I sin, I confess, but there never seemed to be an end to that. And there's answers for you today, those individuals that feel that that's themselves. It's like sin has conquered, but, you know, the cross is powerful. What Jesus accomplished on the cross is really powerful. That's your hope. That's your freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. He understands where you're coming from. And soul ties and bondage, it goes, sometimes it passes through the genes. It's sometimes it's physical, as we talked about, sexually. Sometimes it's just inherited, you know. Sometimes it's modeled by our parents. Sometimes it's modeled by those who were around. The law of sowing and reaping in Galatians 6:7, I'd like for you to read that sometimes. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And the enemy, Satan, looks for an opportunity to get you to sow in darkness so he can cling onto you, because he wants you to stay in that place where I confess, I sin. I confess, I sin. He wants you to stay in that vicious cycle so you'll give up. Sometimes we have problems because of childhood experiences. And sometimes it comes through the influences of our neighbors, an older boy, an older girl. Sometimes it comes through family members, and sometimes it comes through our own parents. And there's time and time again where I've found ungodly soul ties between a young man or a young girl and their parents, or maybe some young, when they were about 5 years old or 7 years old, a neighbor came over when the parents weren't there and molested the little girl or molested the little boy, or an uncle or someone's come over and has taken advantage of that situation, and an incest was performed in the family. And oftentimes when I get a chance to talk with people, they've forgotten about it. Or I shouldn't say they've forgotten about it. What they've done is that they've pushed it down. And God has given us a mechanism to go into denial so that we can survive. But we can't stay in that denial too long, because if we stay in the denial too long, it could be very hurtful to us later on. Sometimes things happen when we're just playing doctor. You know, playing doctor. Or mommy and daddy. And a person can be in total bondage to another person as a result of that the rest of their lives. There's a situation where this one young lady, when she was about 7 years old, she used to be in the bed, get in the bed with her mother and dad all the time and just play. And they just have a good time in the bed. And the father one day, when the mother was asleep, was playing with the child, but the father's hand just kind of slipped down a little bit and touched her in the wrong places. And she thought that the father was playing, and the father laughed as if he was playing. So she saw in his face, you know, love, but it was confusing to her because he was touching her in the wrong place. And so she got out of bed and ran to the bathroom, and she just started thinking about it as a little young girl, that, oh, daddy's just playing with me, this is okay. So she went into denial, but her spirit knew that something wasn't quite right. But her mental mind, she just tried to blank it out and says, oh, daddy's just loving me. But inside, she was saying something different. I must have done something really wrong. Really wrong for Dad to do what he did to me. That's what was going on. I must be the cause of this. And so she started taking on shame. She felt dirty. So as she grew up, she was very, what's the word? I can't get it out. Promiscuous. Thank you. And she wanted to get pregnant because she wanted to kill the baby. Because how much she hated herself. She's very suicidal. She's antidepressants for most of her life. She was multiple personalities. She had many different problems. One touch is what happened. And sometimes that's all it takes is a touch. And a girl or a guy can grow up all of their lives feeling very dirty. And then they become Christians, and they understand forgiveness and cleansing in their mind. Okay, I'm forgiven. But they've never felt forgiven. They've never felt cleansed. It's this thing deep down inside that keeps saying that I'm dirty, that I'm just not clean, and how could God forgive me? Like this lady that I was just telling you about. Now, as I mentioned, that this whole thing on soul ties and bondage can be through transferring of spirits as well. And sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, that these could be good things. Laying on hands, the transferring of spirits can be a blessing. So laying on hands under certain conditions like could actually empower you. We lay hands here in church, don't we? We impart healing to the sick. We touch them. Mark 16:17-18. We receive power to administer the baptism of the Holy Spirit by laying on hands. We impart spiritual gifts in Romans 1:11 by laying on hands. When I often pray for people, we do that. We bless their hands to be a blessing to others. We send missionaries out by... you guys did that with Sam and those guys, I think. I wasn't here, but I'm sure you laid hands on them, right? Yeah? And you blessed them, Acts 13:1-4. I'm going to skip some of this, okay? And then, of course, again, there's the bad things, the sexual intercourse. And now, with this sexual intercourse of soul ties, because, as I mentioned before, that God, he welds us together, a man or woman, when they marry, they cleave. Their spirit and their soul are together, right? Okay, so what happens is if we begin to have... If we have multiple partners, our spirit from now on is married to those individuals in many different ways. And so what happens, our spirit begins to hunt for that person that it knows that it's married to. That's the way God has made us. And so there's a restlessness that goes on inside of us. Everyone that comes to that door, is that the person? That's for me. Even sometimes when you're married, you just keep looking. You're always looking, because your spirit is looking. It's searching for the ones that it's been married to. And so let's say you've had a prostitute, you've been involved with prostitution, or you've been with a prostitute, or you've just been with multiple partners. Your spirit is spread out everywhere. And your vitality, your energies, has been sapped out of you. And so when we minister to different ones, we call back their spirit. And we call back their energies, their vitality, their life back. Because your life is gone, you know. You've cleaved onto other people. And God wants to bring that back to you. And set you free from individuals that that have hold of you still. And if anybody here has been involved in any Satanism, rituals, or anything like that, let me know, because we need to pray for you, because they still have control of you. Now, we can be bound to many things outside of sex. We can be bound to anger, bound to lust. We can be bound to our jobs. Many different things we can be bound to. Then there's the generational sins and generational spirits that we... Sometimes we find ourselves with a soul tie to, let's say, in the family, there's a spirit of rage in the family. And let's go back five generations. And you go back five generations and you find out there's a spirit of rage there.